You can be turning in your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 8. Matthew, the 8th chapter. It was usually on a Saturday. My dad, when I was growing up, would tell my mom that we were going to a little place just a few miles, 10 or 12 miles south of where I was raised in Illinois. And it was a little place they called Drake, Illinois. It's also known as Hank Station. The reason why there was a railroad that ran through there, and there was a little train station there, and the station had long closed down, and they took that little train depot and they turned it into an auction house. The man who settled the area years ago in the 1800s, his last name was Hanks. I don't think he was related to Tom, but I don't know. And so Hank Station, or what they referred to as Drake, I'd hear my dad say, "Hey, why don't we go down to Drake tonight?" And so we'd all get in the car and we'd drive down there, and everybody who had things that they wanted to get rid of, they'd bring it down there to the old auction barn or the auction house, the old train depot, and they'd bring it in there, and the auctioneers would be there, and folks would be sitting around on boards and benches just around the area there where they would be auctioning off this stuff. And every once in a while, I remember seeing my dad, he would have his little card in his hand that had a number written on it. And every once in a while, he'd raise that card up and he would bid on something. And sometimes he bought something and he would bring it home. And here's what my dad loved to do. And we didn't have a lot of money, so he didn't go spending a lot of money wastefully. But here's what he would like to do. Whenever they got down to where they had those boxes of trash, is what I would consider it to be. It was just trash. It was just stuff that they didn't want to have to sell individually because nobody probably wanted it. And so they would just throw it all in a box and nobody really knew what was in the box. Y'all been in an auction, know what I'm talking about? They'd throw it all in the box and they would start bidding on these boxes of trash and they would get it maybe $1 or $2 or $3. Maybe it'd go as high as $5 a box. And usually my dad would get in on that. And he'd buy him a box of trash. And he'd take that box, and afterwards he'd get it and he'd put it in the car and he'd take it home and he would start going through that box. And a lot of the stuff that was in that box many times would go into the trash can. And the reason why it went into the trash can is because a lot of it was just trash. It was just stuff you wouldn't want. It was just broken stuff, stuff that didn't amount to anything, stuff you wouldn't need or wouldn't want. But every once in a while, in that trash, my dad would find a treasure. Now, when I'm talking about a treasure, I don't mean he found a bar of gold. And I don't mean he found a Rolex watch or anything like that. I mean, what I mean is that my dad found maybe an old tool in there that was still usable. And so he'd get that out and he would clean it up and he would fix it up and he would put it down there and he said he found a treasure in all of that trash. Or it might be that he would find a dish in there that he knew my mom was going to love, and so he'd get that dish out and he would clean it up and he would give it to my mom, and she would put it in the cabinet pretending that she liked it. But it was a treasure to Dad. He would go through all the trash and he would find in that trash, he would find what he considered to be a treasure and he would take it out of the trash. Now listen to me, and I want you to picture the image. My dad would take something out of that box of trash. He would take it out. He would choose it. He would pick it out. He would take it out. He would clean it up and he would make it something that was usable. He would make a treasure out of that trash. And I want you to know that sort of illustrates for me a little bit about what our Lord did when he was here on the earth. That is, our Lord came into a world that indeed has been trashed by sin. But ladies and gentlemen, in that trash, Jesus found some people that he picked out and that he cleaned up and that he transformed into treasures. Our Lord went to the auction house and paid the price. Amen. And I'm talking about the price of his own death on the cross so that those who were trashed by sin could become treasures in the household of God. And you know, that's sort of what he did in my life. That is, when the Lord Jesus found me, he found a piece of lost trash. He bought me by His death. He cleansed me by His blood, changed me by His grace, and brought me into a right standing before God. And there are many that are here today that you could say that about your life as well. Could be a testimony that God can take trash and make a treasure out of it by His divine grace. And that's what the Lord is doing here in Matthew's gospel in chapter number 8. That is, there's a section of scripture here in Matthew chapter number 8 that highlights for us what God can do in the lives of those that are considered trash by everyone else. That is, that are considered outcasts, that are considered worthless, that is, individuals here that indeed have been rejected by the world. Their lives have been ravaged and trashed by sin and disease. Their lives are a mess, and the Lord Jesus is able to transform them into a wonderful treasure. And I want you to know that He can do that in your life as well. And that is, if you're here and you say, "Pastor, my life is an absolute trashy mess. I've messed up my life. When I look at my life, I see nothing but a big box of trash. Maybe you've trashed it yourself. Sin has done a number on you and has trashed and messed up your life." Listen to me now. You say, "Is there any hope?" There's somebody who can make a treasure out of trash. Amen. And I'm not talking about my dad now. I'm talking about my Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ can do just that. While what the world rejects, what the world throws away is hopeless, our Lord Jesus picks up and makes a wonderful treasure out of. And so I want you to notice with me a little story here in Matthew chapter number 8 that really brings this idea out. And we're just going to look at what I'm going to call the leper who became a treasured testimony. Notice with me here in Matthew chapter number 8, beginning in verse number 1, the story. And then we'll go back and we'll highlight what I believe are some really important points about this leper who became a treasured testimony. Verse number 1, it says, "When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper, and worshipped him, saying, 'Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean.' And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, 'I will, be thou clean.' And immediately," not the next day, not a week later, not after a round of antibiotics, but immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said unto him, "See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them." We read here about a man who indeed, whose life was indeed, could be described as a man who was living a trashed life. I'm not saying that he as a person was just a trashy person, but his life was trash. You see, the trash that he became, the reason why his life was trashed, because of what disease had done to his life. The Bible tells us here that this man was a leper. Now, there was not any disease in biblical times, apparently, that was any more dreaded or despised by the people of the first century as leprosy was. It was hated because of the physical effects of the disease. Leprosy was, in that time period, if it was indeed real leprosy, it was incurable. There were many skin diseases that they didn't know the difference between whether it was real leprosy or whether it was just some other kind of disease. And so some of them would get better. But those who really had leprosy, they had an incurable disease. And of course, it would result as in the numbing and the deterioration of the body's extremities. And as the disease progressed, it would spread and affect other areas. And those areas would change colors, lose feeling, and begin to deteriorate. There were terrible physical effects of this disease. And there was also indeed the social effects of having leprosy. Those who had leprosy would have to go to one of the Jewish priests. That is, if they broke out with this, with what looked like the visible signs of leprosy, they would go to a Jewish priest. And if that priest determined that he may have leprosy, he was to be considered then unclean by Jewish law, and he had to isolate himself from the rest of society. He had to live away from his family and away from his friends outside the walls of the city. Not inside the walls, but outside the walls of the city, away from his family and away from his friends for a period of time so they could determine if indeed it was really leprosy. If he was ever near anyone, he had to announce his condition by crying out, "Unclean." That is, if he came within a certain proximity of people, he had to say, "Unclean," so that nobody would accidentally come in contact with him. Because you see, if you touched a leper, accidentally or not, you also then would be considered unclean and would have to go through a process of ritual cleansing because you were made unclean by touching a leper. Nobody wanted to touch a leper. Nobody wanted to touch a leper. Nobody wanted to shake his hand. Nobody wanted to be around those who had leprosy. Nobody wanted to take the chance of accidentally coming in contact with them. Because of their disease, lepers were considered to be outcasts as far as the rest of society was concerned. Indeed, a leper. It was the very one, a leper, that was chosen to be the first healing miracle recorded in the Gospels. Jesus is reaching out in loving, caring ministry to those who are outcasts. That is, to those that other people did not care to be around, didn't want to have anything to do with. These are people that would be considered to be the trash of society. The trash of society. Well, that is, lepers, those who were diseased with this dreaded disease in the first century. And so I want you to see the trash he had become. A man who was whose life was trashed by a disease called leprosy. But I want you to notice with me also the trust that he demonstrated. This leper had come to the point in his life of trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice with me, first of all, that he demonstrated real trust in that he came to Christ. He came to Christ. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 2, and I really love this phrase, "Behold, there came a leper." Indeed, Jesus had just completed his message that he preached to the people in the mountain, that is in chapters 5 through 7. We call it the Sermon on the Mount. He just got done preaching. There were multitudes of people that gathered with him. He took them up into a mountain and Jesus taught them. And that big crowd of people now, as he comes down from the mountain, that big crowd of people followed him down the mountain according to verse number 1. And all of a sudden now, here comes this leper. Behold, there came a leper. Now, knowing what little we know about lepers in the first century that I described to you a moment ago, it seems to be quite a surprise that this leper would show up with this large crowd of people that gathered around our Lord, following him down from that mountain. That usually was not what happened with lepers. You can imagine probably what some of the people in that crowd must have been thinking when they saw that leper approaching. Why, some of them probably thought to themselves, "I cannot believe the nerve of that man coming around all these people." If you and I would have been there, I mean, you ladies would have got together in the other corner over there, and you just said, "Can you believe that? All right? Can you believe that? Look over there who's coming down around all this crowd. I cannot believe that that person is coming around. Why can't he stay where he belongs? He doesn't belong here. He belongs out there wherever the lepers are staying in the leper colony many times where they live together. He doesn't belong around all of us. Doesn't he know that he's not welcome here? All he's going to do is interrupt things. Maybe we need to have somebody to tell him to stop coming. I'll tell you what we'll do. I'll tell my husband, and he'll get together with the other folks. He'll get the trustees together, and he'll get the nominating committee together, and they'll get the personnel committee together, and we'll take care of this, and we'll tell him he can't come here. So all the women go home, and they tell their husbands, and their husbands get together, and they say, "We better take care of this problem, amen." Well, I'm exaggerating, ain't I? And that's not really how it happened. But can you imagine what they must have been thinking? As this leper begins to come, something is really unusual about what's going on here. The fact that the leper approached this crowd of people. This leper had to know how people felt about him. He had to know that they didn't want him around. But he came anyway. Still, behold, this leper came. You say, "Pastor, why in the world would he put himself in a position of being mocked and ridiculed and rejected?" Well, here's what I believe. And that is, as word about Jesus began to spread, that is, as word began to get around, something began to happen on the inside of this man. He began to hear the stories about Jesus. Maybe he'd been hearing the stories about what Jesus had been teaching. Maybe been hearing the stories that indeed miracles had been performed. And while this is the first recorded healing, there were other miracles indeed that our Lord no doubt had performed. And maybe been hearing about all of this. He'd been hearing about Christ, and all of a sudden apparently something was happening on the inside of this man. And whatever you want to call that, all it was this. He knew that he had to meet this man named Jesus. He had to get to Christ. Maybe you can remember a time in your life when something similar happened to you. You probably didn't have leprosy, but in reality, you had a disease that was destroying your life that was far worse than leprosy has done to anyone. And I'm talking about the disease of sin. that destroys us from the inside out. And as you begin to realize what the problem was, maybe there came a time in your life when you finally got honest and said, you know what? You know what's wrong with me? It's not everybody else's fault. It's not everybody else. It's not society around me. It's not my family. It's me. I am a sinner. There's something wrong in my heart. I'm not right on the inside. And maybe you just begin to realize that something was wrong with you. And you begin to hear about Jesus. And maybe somebody witnessed to you. Or you heard about him at church. Or whatever it might be. Maybe somebody came to you and told you about Christ. And you begin to hear about the Lord. And all of a sudden something's happening on the inside of you. And maybe like me, you didn't tell anybody. Maybe you didn't tell anybody. I think God's dealing with me, or use terminology similar to that. But something was happening, and you knew that it was. And you just, on the inside of you, you knew you had to get to Christ. You knew that you needed to meet Him. You needed to get Him more than you cared about what other people thought about you. I remember when God brought me to that point where I needed Jesus worse than I cared about what anybody else thought about me. You see, I'd been under conviction, lost for several months, knew that I was not saved, knew I'd never come to Christ. And as that weighed on my heart and the Holy Spirit convicted my heart, there was so many times that I knew that I needed to turn to Christ, but I was concerned about what everybody else would think about me. That is, me being somebody in the church and who had made a profession of faith. And what would they think about me if they knew that I was lost? And it weighed on me, and the devil used it against me. And there came that day when I was so lost and so miserable and so under conviction and at the end of my rope that I didn't care what anybody else thought anymore. I needed to get to Jesus no matter what anybody thought or said about it. Amen. And that's sort of where this man is. There's folks going to talk about it. There are folks that are going to ridicule him. But he had to get to Jesus. He knew that he had to get to him. You see, this man had been brought to a point of trusting. That is, of faith in Christ. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what happens when God brings you to the point of trusting in Christ. He brings you to the point where you need him and you have to get to him and you want him, and you're going to come to him no matter what anybody else says or what anybody else thinks. That's where it comes to. That's faith. That's what it looks like when a person is brought to the point of trust, of trusting in Christ. Well, this man trusted in him. We not only see a demonstration of his trust in the fact that he came to Christ, but also in the fact that he worshiped before Christ. Did you notice there the Bible tells us that when he came to Christ, the Bible says in verse number 2 that he worshiped him. That he worshiped him. And the idea seems to be that he fell down before him in an act of worship. Fell down on the ground before him as though he was in the presence of royalty. And indeed, he was. You say, why in the world would this leper worship Christ? Well, as he had been hearing about Jesus Christ, he had not only been hearing about his person, but he'd been hearing about his works. And I believe that this man realized who Jesus was. Who he was. That is, he referred to him as Lord. Notice what he said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now when he refers to him here as Lord, the idea seems to be that he has an understanding now of who Jesus is. He not only been hearing about his works, but now he knew about his person, and he realized that he really is Lord. Now folks, the only way to appropriately respond to the presence of the one who is sovereign Lord is to bow before him, and that's what this man is doing. So as you see him worshiping or bowing before him, he's doing so because he really realizes who Jesus is. Some of you here, and that's not true about you. That is, there's not been that work in your heart that's brought you to the point of really believing and trusting in who Jesus is. Those who come to the point of believing, they realize who he is, and they bow before him as Lord. If you were to start the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew, you would encounter some wise men from the East. Chapter 2, remember them? Matthew chapter number 2, Jesus was born in chapter 1. And we find that wise men from the East come in chapter number 2. And the Bible says these wise men come to the house where our Lord was with his parents in the little town of Bethlehem. And the Bible says that they come before him and they bow before him and they worship him. You know what they referred to him as? They referred to him as the King of the Jews. And when you're in the presence of royalty, the only appropriate thing to do is bow and worship. Well, I believe that just as the wise men knew that Jesus was king, this man was convinced that he was indeed Lord. And that's the reason why that he bowed before him. And that's the reason why that he worshiped him. He realized who he was. I'm trying to get you to see the demonstrations of his trust. He's demonstrating what it looks like to trust in the person of Christ. You'll see not only that he came to Christ. You'll see not only that he worshiped before Christ, but you'll notice that he believed in Christ. Look what it says in verse number 2. He said to him, here's what the man did. He bowed, he worshiped, and here's what he said. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. When he said, thou canst make me clean, you know what he was speaking? He was speaking words of trust and faith. Lord, you can make me clean. This man was not only convinced about who Jesus was, but he was absolutely convinced about what Jesus could do. He was convinced that Jesus could heal him of his leprosy so that it would be completely gone and he would be clean. Jesus, you can make me clean. My life is messed up. My life is riddled with disease. My life is trashed by this leprosy. But Lord, you can make me clean. That is, you can completely eradicate this disease out of my body so that it'll be completely gone and I will be completely clean. Listen to me now. This explains even further why this man came to Jesus in the first place. He was convinced that Jesus had the answer for his need. That is, his need for cleansing. You know, that's what happens in the heart of a person when God brings him to the point of trusting in Christ. When God brings them to the point of trusting in Christ, they are absolutely convinced that Jesus would do for them what they desperately need. That is, that they're lost. That is, that they're a sinner. They need to be forgiven. They need to be saved. And that Jesus will save them. That's the very truth that brings conviction to the heart of a sinner. And that is that Jesus is the Christ. He died for my sins on the cross. He was raised the third day. And because of what he did and who he is, he can save me, forgive me, and make me a child of God. Listen, when God brings you to that point that you know Jesus can do for you what you desperately need in order to be saved, listen, when you get to that point that you're convinced of it, that's what trust looks like. Amen. I know Jesus can save me. I know Jesus can forgive me. Yes. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Trying to get you to see the trust that he demonstrated. He demonstrated trust when he came to Christ. He demonstrated trust when he worshiped before Christ. He demonstrated trust in that he believed in Christ, that Christ could cleanse him. And he demonstrated trust when he yielded to Christ. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? Well, you may have noticed that as this leper spoke to Jesus these words of faith, he said to him, he said, thou canst make me clean. But first of all, he said, if thou wilt. Here's what that means. If it's your will, Lord, if it's your will, you can make me clean. This man is not demanding something from Christ, but he's yielding himself to Christ. He's surrendering himself to the will of the King. Not my will, but if it's your will, you can make me clean. Now, folks, that's what real trust looks like. Real trust, when God brings a person to the point of real faith and trust in Christ, he brings you to the point of the yielding of your will. Not only the sense of your need, not only the idea of coming to Christ and saying a certain prayer, but something more is happening in this man's life than just the repetition of words here. In other words, there's not somebody coaxing him behind the scenes. There's not somebody coming alongside of him and saying, now, dear brother, if you will simply pray this, then the Lord will heal you. No, that's not it. There's not the coaxing. There's not the idea of trying to get him to say a magic word or repeat a certain prayer. The idea is that this man has been brought to the point in his heart that he says, Lord, I want to surrender myself to your will. Lord, I want to abandon and yield myself to you. It's not my will. Lord, if you're willing, you can made me clean. I want you to see that his belief has brought him to a point of yieldedness to the will of the king. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what faith looks like. That's what trust looks like. Listen, it's not just a matter of saying words. It's not just a matter of going through some kind of a religious ritual. It's when God brings you to the point as a lost person, somebody that's unsaved, that you know you're lost and you're a sinner, and Jesus is the only one that can help you. And he brings you to the point of surrender to him. Your will surrendered, broken before him. I often use the word brokenness when I'm preaching. And what I mean by that word is the surrender of a person's will. That's what faith is. That's what trusting in him is. The surrender of my will. Brokenness. Surrender. Abandonment to him. This guy was demonstrating that kind of trust. Something happened in him. In his heart. It's with the heart that man believes to righteousness, Romans 10. And God had brought his heart to that condition of trust. And so you'll see the trash that he became and the trust that he demonstrated. But would you notice with me in verse 3, the touch that he received? And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Jesus, the Bible says, put out his hand and touched this man. And I want you to know this with me, that when he touched him, he spoke. And as the Lord touched him and spoke, the Bible teaches us that indeed he was healed. He was healed. Now, it wasn't necessarily just the physical touch that is required for healing. The reason why we know is because there are many people that were healed that Jesus did not touch. As a matter of fact, we find out that Jesus didn't even have to be present for healing to occur. All he has to do is just speak. That's it. And people are healed. But when Jesus reached out and touched this man, he was reaching across the social prejudices of that day. Listen, when he reached out and touched him, he was demonstrating that loving, caring ministry to people that is more important to our Lord than cultural rules and taboos. Amen. Here's one of the things that my mama taught me when I grew up, and that is you don't play in the trash. Amen. You don't play in the trash. Listen, we had a trash can in our kitchen, like many of you did, and if my mama would have come in there when I was growing up and found me digging around in that trash can, she would have made me stop. You don't dig around in the trash can. You don't play in the trash. We had a trash can outside, one of those old silver metal trash cans, you know what I'm talking about, sitting outside by the house, and she'd take the trash out, and we had a barrel that we burn in, and then we had that trash for trash that didn't burn, and we put it in there. Listen, if I would have went out there and opened that trash can up and got into that trash can and started digging through that trash can, and my mom and my dad saw me, they would have told me, get out of that trash. You're not supposed to be playing in the trash. Well, if you lived in the first century, here's one of the things that you were not supposed to do, that is all of culture told you this, and that is you don't hang around with, you don't spend time with, and you never touch a leper. Just don't do it. It's like playing in the trash. But Jesus deliberately reached across all of those social taboos and prejudices of that day, and he played in the trash. He touched the trash. A man whose life had been completely destroyed by sin and disease, and Jesus reached out and he touched this man. Can you imagine the gasp in the crowd when Jesus touched the man? Remember that group of ladies over there in the corner that I spoke about a little while ago? They probably swallowed their tongues when Jesus touched this man. I mean, you can imagine the gasp whenever Jesus touched them. They probably immediately got on their cell phones and got on Facebook and said, I cannot believe what Jesus just did. After all those wonderful messages he preached on the Sermon on the Mount, he did such a good job preaching, and then he messed it all up by touching a leper. I'll never go back there again. Can you imagine? Well, you can imagine that what the talk must have been. It was an amazing moment when our Lord revealed his love to this man who was in such desperate need and whose life had been destroyed and trashed. When you see Jesus reaching out and touching this man, The touch that this man received, folks, was a touch of divine purpose. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, Jesus said this. He said, I will. In other words, what I mean by that is the man said, if thou will, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus' response is, well, then I will. In other words, did Jesus touched him with divine purpose. In other words, when the Lord reached out and touched him, that man's life was touched by divine purpose. And listen to me now, when the Lord dealt with you, when he spoke to you, when he worked in your life, revealed to you that you was lost and brought you to the point of trusting in him and he saved you, you also were touched with divine purpose. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? God's divine purpose, dear friend, is to redeem people to himself. To save those that are lost. To redeem to himself those whose lives are trashed and destroyed by sin. That's why he sent his son. There was a reason, a purpose why he sent his son. Why he died on the cross. Why he bled and was raised the third day. There was a divine purpose. You say, what was it? The divine purpose is so that indeed those whose lives have been trashed by sin can be redeemed, forgiven, brought into a right relationship with God, and made something useful before him. Man, when God saved you, you were touched with divine purpose. And then secondly, he was touched with divine power. You say, Pastor, what do you mean by that? Well, when Jesus touched this man, he spoke and he said, I will, be thou clean. And do you know that immediately his leprosy was gone? Don't you love the word immediately? Man, right then. I mean, Jesus touched him and spoke and it's gone. Jesus didn't call in the doctors. He didn't write a prescription. He just touched him and spoke. The leprosy did not begin a process of healing that day that lasted a period of days or weeks. No, this man was completely, immediately healed so that there was no sign that he ever had the leprosy. It was gone as though he had never had it. You're talking about divine power. That's right. Now, folks, there's never been a man with this kind of power. Never has been. There's something unique about him. The gospel writers want us to know that. There's something about Jesus that's different than anybody else. This leper knew it. And that's why he came to him. That's why he bowed before him and worshiped him. That's why he spoke those words of faith, if you will, you can make me clean. That's why he yielded himself to him, because he knew there's something about Jesus that's not like anybody else he's ever known. Listen to me. He really is who he said he is. He really is Lord, King of all kings, the one who has all authority and all power in heaven and in earth. He has power over disease. He has power over death. He has power over demons. As a matter of fact, the Lord Jesus has been exalted to a place of divine authority over all things. You see the power of his word, the power of his touch, the power to cleanse, the power to forgive. Listen, when the Lord touched him, he touched him with divine power. And immediately, he was healed. And so we see here the trash that he became. This man's life was trashed by the disease of leprosy. We see the trust that he demonstrated. Something had happened in his heart that brought him to Christ. That brought him to the point of trusting in Christ alone. You see, the touch that he received, Jesus touched him. It was a touch with divine purpose and divine power. But notice with me finally, the testimony that he revealed. Look at verse number 4. And Jesus said unto him, see thou tell no man. He said, don't tell anybody what just happened to you. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. What? A testimony to the priest. Now we're talking about temple here. A testimony to the priest. I mean, these are the Jewish leaders. And the Lord Jesus has sent to them somebody who's going to be a testimony to them. But who is it that he chose? Why, he chose a leper. The one who was rejected by them. The one who was an outcast to them. The one who to them was just nothing but trash. And this man who was trash now has become a testimony. Yea, to the Jewish leaders of the day. Jesus said, don't tell anybody. Here's what you do before you do anything else. You go straight to the priest. And you follow the requirements of the Mosaic law. The law that God gave through Moses. In Leviticus 14, you'll read about it. The law reveals a lengthy ritual that was required for a leper to go through when he thought that he had been healed of the leprosy, or the leprosy was gone, so that he could then officially be considered cured and clean. If the Jewish priest said he was unclean, then he was unclean until the Jewish priest said he is now clean or cured. But there was a whole ritual that he had to go through. Let me describe just a little bit of it to you, and then I'll be done. We'll take but just a few minutes. And anyway, the leper was to come to the priest with two live birds, a piece of cedar wood, a bundle of hyssop, and some scarlet for a ritual that would take approximately 8 days. And all of these were dipped in running water. One of the birds was then killed over the running water. The other bird, the cedar, the hyssop, and the scarlet were dipped in the blood of the dead bird. The blood then was sprinkled 7 times on the leper. The live bird was set free. The leper then washed his clothing and shaved off his hair. He was then declared clean, but he had to wait 7 days. And on the 8th day, he was to bring a sacrifice back, 2 male lambs, a ewe lamb, flour mingled with oil, and a pint of oil to the priest. And the priest would offer up a trespass offering. Blood from the trespass offering was put on the leper's right ear, right thumb, and his right big toe. Y'all still with me? The priest then took the oil and he anointed the man's ear, thumb, and toe with oil. And then the priest would pour the remaining oil on the man's head. And the priest would then offer up a sin offering, followed by a meal offering, hence the flour, and then a burnt offering. And after the last offering, the cleansed leper was received back into the fellowship, that is, was allowed to mingle among the people. You say, Pastor, what in the world is that all about? The Mosaic law in Leviticus 14. Here's what Jesus said. I want you to go and do that. Go to the priest and do all that the Mosaic law required. Let the priest see you. Let him see you. Let him look at you, this man who had been a leper, and let him see that it is gone. Now, this would be unlike any priest had ever seen before. And the reason why is because those who normally got over leprosy normally went through a process of healing. This man was healed as though he had never had the disease. Go up to the priest. Go through all the rituals of the Mosaic law to fulfill the law. And do it as a testimony to the priest. A testimony of what I've done for you. I love that. This man, there was nothing but trash. I mean, listen, if you took everybody in the first century and you put them in a box, and you look down in that box, I'm trying to find some treasure in there, this is not the guy you would pick. He looks like he belongs in the trash can. His life is worthless. In the eyes of the first century people, he was hopeless. There was nothing that could be done for him. There was no cure. There was nothing that could be done for him. But something happened in his heart that brought him to Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus looked in that box and he saw this man and said, now right there is a treasure. I know he looks like trash, but I'm going to make a treasure out of him. And Jesus chose him out of all the rest of the crowd that day. Yes, even Jewish leaders and prominent people that were there. But Jesus picked out one of the trashiest people there. He picked him. He cleansed him, he changed him, and made him a testimony to everybody. A testimony of who Jesus is and what Jesus can do. He transformed a leper into a treasured testimony. I have a feeling that if our Lord would have done this, if he would have chosen those people who are testimonies of his grace and mercy to change people's lives. And he would have said, these here are my most treasured testimonies. I believe that he would have chosen this leper. a man who above all the other people was a testimony to the Jewish leaders that God loves sinners, that God can redeem those who are rejected by the world, a testimony that no matter how far away your life has gotten, that no matter how far down you've gone, that no matter how wicked you've become, that no matter how sin has destroyed your life, Jesus can cleanse you and change you, save you, and make you a new creature. Some of you might be here and say, Pastor, my life is a screwed up mess. It is just a mess. I've made a mess out of my life. Is there any hope? There's somebody who can turn a trash into treasure. And His name is Jesus. Amen. He's the one you need. He's the only one that can help you. He's the only one that can cleanse you, forgive you, and make you a new creature. His name is Jesus. Let's bow our heads. Now, Father, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would work in the hearts of those that You've chosen to deal with. Father, pray for those who are here right now, God, and You knew who was going to be here, and Father, You knew, Lord, what You wanted to say. So I pray that You'll work Your work, Father, in our hearts. For those who are here, Father, that never come to Christ, I pray, Father, that You'll do Your work in those hearts. And Father, bring those individuals to the point that, like this man, that they know that Jesus loves them, that He died for them, that He shed His blood for them, that they can come to Him, that He would save them, forgive them, become the Lord of their life. Father, I pray, God, that You'll do Your work in the heart of that person whose life, God, is in shambles, that they would realize, Lord Jesus, that You're the answer for their life. Father, would You do Your work now? God, would You make a wonderful treasure, a treasured testimony out of that trash life? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all.